Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed, and today, my friends, we're going to be talking about how feminism failed females. More, and you know, before you get upset, I can already tell you're probably upset. I've done a whole show on how feminism has freed men, how it's failed men. We've talked about this from the male perspective before, and trust me, I'll continue to do it again and again, but we're going to talk about how this unfortunately affects women as well, because when you think feminism, you think that, oh, it only benefits women and whatnot, and you're not wrong when you say that, frankly, but here's something that maybe you didn't know. You know, the boomers and the Gen X women, you know, the ones like your mom, your grandma, whatever, they're the ones who championed this, right? They were like, yeah, go feminism, feminism's great. But you know what, my generation, Gen Alpha, I'm telling you, man, these people, my people, we don't like this. A lot of women I know, they don't want to go out there. They don't want to go in corporate America and work their behind off for 50 years. Ah, man, they want to go into a soft girl era. They want to come out here and they want to go be stay-at-home moms again. I mean, let's keep in mind for a second, the economy's in the garbage can, so that plays an element in this. So don't fall for this trap, gentlemen, that, oh, women want to be feminine again. I'm in a clear. The first rate's going to go down. No, no, no.
Oh, hell no.
I wouldn't be so sure about that. I'll tell you this right now. I wish to God that was true, but I'm going to warn you. I don't think it is. And so we're going to show feminism failing women. And, you know, I'm tempted to use the term females because apparently people are wanting to tell me, oh, women and men are social constructs now, and blah-de-da-de-blah-de-blah-de-blah-blah.
You lied to me.
But you know what? I'm going to do what I want to do. This is my show, not theirs, and if they want to do something about it, well, then go right ahead, make my day. But you know what? We're going to go to the first clip of the day. And you know what's really interesting on a little side note? I think that women are watching content on this side of the internet. They might be watching Andrew Tate, Fresh and Fit, CGA. They might be watching these guys. Shout out to all those guys. They might be watching these guys, and because they're stealing our pearly things. What is it with, I cannot go and look at anything like
that's feminism is absolutely rotating something away from men.
Like,
one child has 20 marbles, and the other has 10 marbles. The child
pearly. And I have nothing against pearl. The problem is, a woman should never be the face of the manosphere, red pill, whatever you want to call it, because it just doesn't work. That's the problem. It doesn't. I don't care whether I agree with it. It just doesn't work because she's very easily. People like to pick on her because she's an easy target. Not to say that she's wrong necessarily, but that she's an easy target to discredit without actually diving into the intellectual abilities. But we're going to look at this dichotomy of liberation, because liberation both allows you to go your own way, but then makes it really hard if you want to stick with tradition. You know, we talk about this reality of cherry picking. A lot of women like to cherry pick. They want to have the freedoms to do what a man can do, but then they also want a man to provide for them like they're traditional women, which they are not. So we get stuck in this catch-22 of we can't be traditional men or we're toxic, or if we want to be progressive men, we don't get any action because no one respects us. So if you're in this catch-22, my only advice to you is just forget all this bull crap and just do what you want to do. Look, if you want to be an effeminate dude who wears pink and all this crap, go right ahead. I don't care what you do. Just don't expect me to tell you that you're the pinnacle of masculinity when you do some crap like that. That's all I'm saying. You want to go out here, be on tippy toes, rainbows, unicorns, and have all these acronyms next to your name, and go right ahead. See if I care. I don't care what you do. Just don't come over here and tell me that I need to affirm you or reaffirm or whatever. I'm not doing any of that crap. But let's look at what this lady has to say about feminism. Let's jump right in and let's do this.
I was a feminist when feminism was about equality, about leveling the playing field, giving women an opportunity to find their rightful place, particularly in the public world, which was tremendously important and exciting when we achieved that. But what feminism today, to me, is all about advantaging women at the expense of men. And it's become very much caught up in the demonization of males, presenting them always at a disadvantage.
It honestly offends me that there is an entire ideology built on the premise that I, as a woman, require sacrifice from others simply so that I could contend with the world around me. Being a woman has never held me back. So feminism had its cute little run for 50 years, but it's time to hang it up and accept a basic reality. Men and women are different. We have different desires, different tendencies, and different responsibilities. We are not meant to be men, and we are certainly not meant to disrespect and degrade masculinity. So stop celebrating femininity as something superior to masculinity, and start celebrating both as valuable pillars to our well-being and culture.
You know, I'm going to tell you, gentlemen, I don't disagree with what she's saying, but there's one thing that you probably did not catch on to. I will pause for 1 second, and I want to ask you a question. What in there did you hear that did not hear that was a subliminal message that should have tipped you off that something was wrong here? And that she wasn't actually trying to stand up for you, but she was standing up for herself. I'll wait for a second, and I'll let you think about it. You ready? You come up with the answer yet, or are you stumped? All right, I'll give you the answer. The answer is, she benefits by what she's talking about.
What?
Yeah, that's right. She benefits by that. You don't think that women benefit when they're at stay-at-home mom and they don't have to go out there and work in the corporate jungle? Yeah, of course they do. Now, are there some women who want to do that? Yes. Are there some men who don't like to do that? Of course. But guess what? We are seeing a blowback, a reaction. The older woman who was in there, who was in the boomer, the Gen X, you know, type woman who said that feminism was great, has seen the evolution of feminism, because a lot of people don't even know where feminism really comes from. And we'll get into that. I'll give you a little teaser right off the bat. It actually really stemmed from Marx and Engels, who wrote a book you might have heard of. It was called The Communist Manifesto. Now, I'm not one of these types that says that communism is to blame for everything, okay? I'll leave that for the less intelligent people. But we'll tell you this. These types of philosophies don't develop in a vacuum. In fact, we see them play out. And I wasn't planning on showing this till later, but we'll look at it right now. This is how Marx and Engels fought for women's liberation. I mean, maybe you didn't know this, but it says Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, who wrote the Communist Manifesto, were champions of women's liberation, both in theory as well as in practice, in public and in private. Important work has already been published, according to both of them, about women and the family, and developing their theoretical framework into a more symbolic understanding of women's oppression. Now, you might have not understood what, you know, what we just said. I wouldn't blame you. Basically, what they're saying is they took an idea that sounded good on paper, and they tried to apply it to the real world. Let's see. What else do I want to read? This article is a step into readdressing that balance. You see, one thing you'll notice, especially about one telltale sign of communism, socialism type of ideology, is this idea of fairness and balance. Okay, as soon as you hear phrases about workers of the world unite, fairness, equality, oppression, liberation, stuff like that, you immediately have to look into the influence, because I guarantee you it has some kind of roots into communism, whether it's Marxian communism, it could be Mao's idea. I mean, just like every other political ideology, you know, there's democracy, but there's different types of democracy, there's different types of republics. Any kind of philosophy like this has different branches. They have the same trunk, but different branches. So you need to see that everything eventually kind of flows back to the roots. And the roots stem from Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. Let's see. Oh, here it is. Let's read what he says. Throughout their lives, Marx and Engels were active alongside women and men in building opposition to emerging capitalism. In the 1830s, Marx and Engels were beginning their revolutionary careers. They were both lawyers, by the way, especially Marx. I'm pretty sure. Well, I know Marx was a lawyer. I'm pretty sure Engels was too. Women participated in utopian socialist organizations. Again, utopian. Utopian is another telltale sign you're dealing with a more extreme ideology. while raising their own demands for equality. Now, equality is a very important distinction. Again, I want to tell you something right now. If you ever go into any level of philosophy, politics, theory, or science, or anything, and you do not establish terms, if you are a professor, if you are an intellectual, a philosopher, whatever, and you do not establish terms, because I can use the same word as you, but it can mean something else because I'm using it in a different context. If you do not explain what you're talking about, any fool can make a complicated concept more convoluted, but it takes someone genuinely intelligent to break something down and make it simpler. So anytime you hear these commie bum types, these professor commie bum types, use words that are above three syllables that sound like they came out of a textbook, and they don't define what they're talking about, they're using what I call Sphinxian syndrome. They are trying to use riddles and word games to subvert your natural inclination to question what you hear, because they're flexing their intelligence on you by not actually explaining what they're talking about. They're using very intelligent language, very convoluted, expressive language, to basically try to convince you that I'm more intelligent than you, so you should listen to me, even though you don't know what I'm talking about. Let's keep going. In the 40s, the 1840s, that is, in Britain, women organized riots, marches, and went on strike. They built barricades, took up arms, another telltale sign, against kings and emperors. Oh, Paris, yeah, we're talking about now the French Revolution, okay. Here it is. Here's what I was looking for. Today, Marx and Engels stand accused of preaching emancipation in public while acting like typical Victorian male convolutionists in private. Again, we are not defining what these words mean, and that is a red flag for anybody who's listening to this show. If they do not define what these words mean, then they are trying to flex their intelligence on you by not dumbing it down for you. It's the equivalent of what the Catholic Church did back in the day when the Bible was only in Latin, and the only person who could tell you what the Bible said was the clergy. And that's why a lot of times people were like, wait, what the hell? Guys like Martin Luther, who learned Latin and became a monk, were like, what are you talking about? This just doesn't make any sense. This isn't what the Bible says. It creates the opportunity for exploitation when you do not understand what you are talking about. One biographer of Karl Marx writes, for all his mockery of the bourgeoisie morals and manners, Marx was at heart a supremely bourgeoisie patriarch. Wait, what? Hold on a minute. Oh, in other words, now they're picking them apart now. Where was the line about, I was hoping this article had this, I didn't read through all the way. I was hoping this article had their saying about the woman being the proletariat and the man being the bourgeoisie, and how the women needed to be liberated from the oppressive nature of marriage because marriage was built to oppress them, which is a total falsehood. But they believed it nonetheless, because of course, if you can be a victim, why the hell wouldn't you play the victim card? If you can become a victim, perceived or realized, that the illusion doesn't matter. It's where is that? Do they not have this quote in here? I thought they would. I thought they would have this quote about Marx and Engels describing the bourgeois marriage as the biggest problem in society, and how they wanted to tear it down. And it was one of the biggest problems that they wanted to be exploited, because they thought that women were being exploited by men. And then it was the Rockefellers who took this idea during the women's suffrage movement, paid for their signs, paid for the protesting organizations and everything, in an attempt to tax the other half of the population. And people are now figuring this out, by the way. Now people are figuring this out because they're seeing, wait a minute, this economy doesn't work for me. This economy is now, I have to work. Back in the day, the women didn't have to work. They could if they wanted, but they didn't have to work. Now, unless you're a guy making way above the average wage, you cannot even have the option of your wife being a stay-at-home mom, and now you're stuck in the catch-22 of paying for child care, which is exorbitant and through the roof, which prevents you from building wealth, ergo keeping you captive to the very system that Marx and Engels said was oppressive. You see how backwards this is? But again, this is why feminism has failed women, because it tells them that feminism is supposed to be in freedom, and in that extent it's actually true, but it's supposed to free you from the binds of normal society. For men, for example, for most men, men view feminism as bad, but you know what? I don't view feminism as bad for me personally, and you want to know why? Because I'm not looking to get married. I have no desire to live the traditional life that most men have led throughout time. The reason why is because most men, if not all men, stand to gain very little or nothing in the modern marriage. The problem is, a lot of us think it's the right thing to do because we're pushed that to, because society tells us that, because obviously society benefits from us producing more little taxpayers we call children, and then they can tax them, tax us, tax everything, and then we pay for childcare, we vote for socialists, we vote for universal health care, which is not about helping you, about giving the government more power over you in your treatment and everything else. But go right ahead. See, that's what it all comes down to, is power, money, and everything else. But the problem is people don't see it. And so they're willing to trade their freedom for security, because people don't want to fail. They don't want to feel like they're at risk of losing stuff. So instead, they'll trade their freedom that feminism is supposed to give them, both men and women, and they'll trade it for comfort. They'll trade it for security. There are women who make billions, if not billions of dollars. Most female billionaires are not billionaires through self-creation. They're billionaires through divorce, but we'll ignore that for 2 seconds. There are exceptions, but at the end of the day, the reason it's failed you is because you're using the wrong formula. It can work for you. Feminism works for you if you are not traditional. If you say, hey, you know what? The system ain't working. I don't like this. I'm going to go my own way, and I'm going to blaze my own trail. I'm not going to try the old equation with the new variables, because it doesn't work. That's why I wrote Biblical Bachelor, because I said, you know what? This ain't working for me. I'm not going to roll the dice and hope for a Yahtzee. It's not going to work. I'm not doing it. Now, you can if you want, but just know that unless you roll a Yahtzee, your life's going to be miserable. Either you're going to get divorced, or you're going to be in a sexless marriage, or an open marriage, or whatever. I'm just telling you the statistics. And if you don't like it, feel free to ignore them, but just know that the statistics are there for a reason. But here's the main issue. People want to be happy. This all comes down to happiness, right? People want to feel happy. They want to feel fulfilled, right? Well, we're going to look. I've showed this clip on the show before, but there's this video on happiness that was put together by Steve Kutz. Great video. We're going to look at this because he talks about happiness in the rat race. We're going to look at this and let me know what you think. Look familiar? Okay, I want to pause right away, because I want to say one thing. Just know this video is supposed to be a representation of happiness, and I want you to really ask yourself, how accurate or inaccurate do you think this actually is? Okay, let me know. Does this represent you, your life, what you see in society? Let's look at it. Let's keep going. Man. Look at all these things that they talk about happiness. We have a Nike reference. We have the Coca-Cola reference. We have the Starbucks reference. Look at all these things. See, all these things, they're trying to make you feel happy. They're trying to get you to come back. They're trying to get you to consume. Tell me, does this look familiar yet? Being happy when you buy stuff, yep. Consumer culture. Black Friday, yep. Fighting over junk that you don't care about, yep. Oh, man. Ooh, look at that. He got him a whip. Yep, the fancy car, the nice stuff, the luxury items. Yep. Oh no, not the bottle. Oh no. Oh, not the Daniels. Oh no. Oh, not the Henny. Oh no. Oh no, not the prescription. Oh no. Oh no. Oh yeah, there's the prescription drugs. Oh yeah. There it is. But what goes up must come down. Oh no. Dude, down bad. Oh, now he's chasing the money. Look at him go. Oh, this is not gonna end well. Oh no.
Oh my god!
Oh no. My friends, let me ask you, I strike a chord in you a little bit? That hit you a little too close to home? Good. Hit me a little close to home. I've been there before. Look, at the end of the day, this is what it all comes back to, is we're sold this idea of happiness, but it's not something that we produce according to society. It's something that we have to consume, and I'm here to tell you, that's just false. The only way you can truly gain happiness in your life is if you actually find out that most of the stuff you've been told is a complete fabrication at best and an absolute lie at worst. It's not an easy thing to accept, I get that, but you know what? Part of this dichotomy of liberation, you have to free your own mind. You have to free yourself from the shackles that are placed upon you by society. And I know it's easy to blame society like it's some kind of invisible boogeyman. But at the end of the day, my friends, we need to realize that most people, they're not listening to this. They don't want to improve. They don't want to express this kind of unfortunate reality. They want to just feel good. They want to go with the flow and be a good social creature and a good cog inside a giant machine. And you know what? At the end of the day, that's what most people are fine with. They don't want to thrive. They just don't want to survive. And society is built for you to survive. I've told this story before, but one of my professors got really mad at me when I asked her this question. We were talking about public policy, and I said, "Professor, why is it that society seems to be set up in a way not for the rich to win, but for the poor not to lose?" And she kind of looked at me with a blank stare for a second, and she said, what are you talking about? And I said, well, it kind of seems like the government set up in such a way that, I mean, obviously the rich are going to win, you know, but it also seems like we don't let poor people actually go down bad because the government's going to protect them because they want their vote. And that's why they quote-unquote redistribute the wealth, because they know that if the poor people actually realize that the people at the top don't actually care about them, then the whole system falls apart. And she didn't like that. She didn't like that. She got upset about that. Which I don't normally see professors like that get upset. But speaking of professors, you know, I tell you that story because we're going to go to this video and, It looks interesting. I don't know what they're going to say, but let's see.
Feminism is absolutely about taking something away from men. One child has 20 marbles and the other has 10 marbles. The child with 20 needs to give up 5.
So on the one hand, yes, equity requires the redistribution of wealth.
Oh no, I'm just looking at this guy and right away. Oh no. Oh, this is going to be rough. See if I can make it. Oh, boy.
And privilege and oppression are inextricably linked. If you want to eliminate oppression, you also have to eliminate privileges.
Okay, what did I say earlier about not defining terms? What did I say about these types using more than 3 syllables to sound sophisticated and they don't define a dang thing so that you're kind of stuck just mesmerized by this flamboyant, scientific, intelligent sounding language, and so you immediately trust them because you don't know what you don't know what they're saying, but you assume they know what they're saying because they're using words you don't understand. Oh boy, let's go back.
But feminism is also about giving something to men, giving us freedom. Freedom from the limitations, the restrictions, the discipline, the surveillance of traditional hegemonic masculinity.
Okay.
Freedom from the expectation that you'll be the sole breadwinner and provider for your family. Freedom from the expectation that you will be tough, stoic, aggressive. And the freedom to be emotional and empathetic and kind without the perception that that means you're also weak.
Oh my God!
Watch Disney movies, have platonic female friends, be the stay-at-home dad. Wear pink. Does feminism demand that we lose something? Yes. We still come out ahead.
Well, this is getting weird.
Oh, no. Oh, this guy's a professor. Oh, no.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, I rest my case. I mean, let's just be totally frank here. Why is it that these types, what is it with the overall theme of using flamboyant, colorful language and words that people have heard but don't understand to then make it sound like you know more than them, they're dumb, so they need to listen to you? This is the idea of the left-wing intellectuals trying to run everything, because any idiot can make something more complicated, but it takes someone with true comprehension to break something down into simplistic and understandable terms. But for some reason, too many people, they don't do that. They don't use simple terms. They don't explain what they're talking about. Like, do I even want to try to interpret what this guy just said? Sure, why not? Let's go again. Let's go again. I'll interpret. We're gonna skip past.
Has 20 marbles and the other has 10 marbles. The child with 20 needs to give up 5.
So on the one hand, yes, equity requires.
Okay, the equity. What is equity? You didn't define equity. People think they know what it means. They don't know what it means. Equity is the idea that people are supposed to have equal access. Well, no, equality is equal access. Equity is like you're all supposed to be on the exact same level. Have, like, they mean equal opportunity is basically what they're saying. You need equal opportunity and equal access. That's what they're talking about.
Requires the redistribution of wealth.
Redistribution of wealth means they're going to take from the guy who has more and give to the guy who has less, merely because the guy has more and the other guy has less, even though they're not giving the same amount to society. But we'll ignore that. Let's keep going.
And privilege and oppression.
Privilege and oppression. What does he mean by that? Privilege means that you have an advantage. And oppression means that you are being pushed down. And they're not at all discussing whether or not this is linked to your choices, your ancestors' choices. We're taking choice and decisions out, and we're only putting in the results.
Are inextricably linked. If you want to,
inextricably linked. Ugh, I sound ridiculous. I can't even say that right now. In other words, they're saying that it's inextricably linked. In other words, they're saying that they're tied together.
We eliminate oppression. You also have to eliminate privileges.
Again, what? I can't do this. This is the type of garbage that gets me so angry. Why do they have to use these terms that people don't understand and are not going to take the time to look up, and they know it, which is why they're doing it. Because if they knew that people would actually look it up, they wouldn't use those terms. They'd use simple, very easy to understand language, but they don't, because they know that people will just think, oh, he used more than two syllables. Oh my God, he must be so smart. I've had enough of this. I've made my point. Ladies and gentlemen of the Sheep Get Sheared podcast, I'll leave it to you to decide what you think at the end of the day, because what you think is really what matters. Do you think I'm right? Do you think I'm wrong? Fair, foul? I'll let you decide. You can leave it in the comments. You can leave it on my X page at Sheep Get Sheared if you want to go over there and leave a comment on any of my posts. You're welcome to do it. But my friends, I encourage you to question everything you heard today, because I know that I'm not always correct about everything. I don't pretend to be. But I give you my raw reactions, and I give you my opinion. It is one man's opinion. One man's musings of the world in which he finds himself. My friends, meantime, please be careful out here. This world's crazy. I really hope that it doesn't drag you down. But I look forward to seeing you all next time. I'm out of here. Take care of yourselves. Peace.